In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On the liturgical calendar, the Visitation is listed as a minor festival, but it truly is a major event. There is a host of theological and doctrinal concepts and truths involved in this text. And think of the implications. Here, for the first time, Jesus and John the Baptist meet, each of them, of course, in the wombs of their mother. Think about these two women, Mary and Elizabeth. Mary, the chosen one of God, a virgin, humble, sincere, faithful. And Elizabeth, her kinswoman, well advanced in years, according to Scripture, whatever that means. She was barren. And now, by divine intervention, she is going to bear a child, the forerunner of the Messiah. Already we see the saving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at this place. We see the plan of God worked out in eternity, now coming to fulfillment. We stand in awe. We stand in awe at what is taking place as these two women, humble and faithful, come together as the ones chosen by the Lord God Himself for important work that will be remembered down through the years. There are many points, as I mentioned, in this text that we could speak of, but I would like to focus for a few moments on this one. What is so significant about Mary's response? It was a response of faith and a response of praise. Mary, first of all, believed the promise of God. And that's why Elizabeth could say to her, "Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord said would be accomplished in her." Yes, Mary is truly blessed because she believed what God had said. She believed that in her womb the Savior of the nations was there. She believed that she would bring the very Son of God, Christ child, into the world who would redeem mankind from sin, Satan, and death. Here we see God at work as in his wisdom he chose this woman, the Virgin Mary, and she believed the promise. Then we also notice that Mary's response of faith brought forth a beautiful hymn, a hymn that is truly for the ages, one which we have sung for some 2,000 years. It's a hymn about the mighty works and the great deeds of God and what he has done to turn the ways of the world upside down and hold before us not only our need for salvation, but the one who would bring life and salvation to us. We continue to sing Mary's song. It is our song of faith as well, because it is the story of what God has done for each of us. And so we can say, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Faith and praise. Mary believed the promise of God. She broke forth in a song of praise. God speaks to us as well through his word, as we know, because God realizes that we live in a world that is spiritually desolate. It is a world in desperate need of the light of Jesus Christ in this spiritual darkness. God also knows our own human weaknesses, our humanity, our sinfulness. And because of the pain and the conflict and everything else that has gone wrong in the world today, there is great evidence of a great need, a great and desperate need. That's when we hear this brilliant promise that those who believe in what God said he would accomplish in them, they are blessed. They are in that right, wonderful relationship with God. For God said that he would rescue us from the powers of sin and death. God said that he would send the Messiah so that we would no longer live in the darkness of our sin. Yes, God said he would take us from death to life through his Son, Jesus Christ. He reaches out to us sinful humans in all of our unworthiness and brings us into his family. And our baptism, by which we are brought into the family of God, is also our seal and guarantee. Marked with the cross, we belong to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we see Mary's song for what it truly is. It is a song of faith. It is a sound of praise for all that God has done. For faith and worship always go together. As Mary sang, "My soul, my inmost being magnifies the Lord, and my spirit, my very essence rejoices in God my Savior." What a wonderful proclamation of what God has done and our reason for magnifying the Lord and rejoicing in his salvation. This very word from God speaks to us, to our hearts, about faith and praise. We continue to live in a spiritually desolate climate. We see daily outbursts of sin and evil, the powers of darkness at work, and we are also aware of our own unworthiness. But far greater than that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by his death and resurrection, he has earned for us forgiveness for our sins and made it possible for us to live as the people of God, both now as well as in eternity. So this word from God causes us to see the great things that God has done, and we too rejoice. For whatever struggles or obstacles or difficulties that we may face, we take hold of this promise of God. And we come to be nourished and nurtured in our very souls. Our souls that rejoice and magnify the Lord, our souls are fed by the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our hungry souls receive the gift of God's word. That word that's so powerful that it split the darkness at creation. A word so powerful that it banishes the spiritual darkness that now pervades over us. It is a word that came to Mary, announcing that according to God's plan and God's time, she was the chosen one. It is a word that satisfies our souls and truly equips us for a life of service to God. Without a doubt, we are truly blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.